You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Robert Lee and John Hawksworth.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as a thrilling finale sees Ash and Wu win the KLM Open.
So happy right now and very, very exciting, unbelievable. And I was thanks my Katie to wish me this week and thanks my wife. And thank a lot of people to be here to support me. So it's, I have a good week this week and I love to win a KLM Open here. So yeah, feel was very good.
The Chinese player edged out Chris Wood, who was gutted to miss out on a fourth European Tour title.
When you get a chance, you know, to win, you want to take it. Yeah, it was so bunched heading into today. You're the one with the one-shot lead. It's nothing really, you know, when there's 10 guys within three or four shots, especially around here, there's lots of chances. So, yeah, it's just hard.
A look back at the best of the action to come. Plus, we'll preview the next event, the Portugal Masters. Hello, I'm Robert Lee and I'm joined by John Hawksworth. Johnny, it's so good to see you. It's a rare occasion these days, but how are you?
Well, I'm absolutely average at the moment. I've had that nasty little bug. Have you had it?
No, I haven't.
Yes, anyway, it's on the way. But I've survived and here I am and nice to be with you.
They build them tough up north. Mm. Now, what about the event that we just watched in Holland? Nice golf course.
Yes, it's a lovely golf course. Monty designed with the European Tour. Linksy feel to it. The KLM Open's been there now. I think that's the third year the years fly by. And kind of regarded as the home of the KLM Open now. Always got big crowds. The weather was good. And it's a lovely, lovely golf course all out in front of you. And it's a favourite with the players. And yeah, for Ash and Wu, third victory. I felt a bit sorry for Chris Wood. Three putt in the last.
Yeah. From distance, though.
Working with a new coach he's not been with for too long. So I think he did well by his own admission, to get into contention and contend for an event so early on, because you know what golf pros are like, a bit of a tinker, can feel a bit strange.
Sometimes, yeah.
But Ash and Wu...
started off one back, didn't he, from Chris Wood, going into the final round.
But his last five holes, I think he made three birdies in his last five, finishing off with one on 18, which was a par five. They moved the tee up about 140 yards. But that was his third win. I've watched a bit of Wu this year when I've been at events. He looks very good. He's a quiet man. But a very good player, lovely putter. And, of course, the greens out there at the Dutch are as pure as anything. Do you know that golf course sinks about 3 to 5 centimetres a year, so they have to put some...
A lot of topsoil?
A lot of sand on it to bring it back up again.
So it's constantly going down. The elevator's only going one way.
I think it's about 3 metres below sea level.
All reclaimed land, as a lot of Holland is.
Yes, but... it's a beautiful golf course, as I say, designed by Monty. When I got... do you remember Berlin Sporting Club?
Yes, I do.
I thought it was a little bit like that.
Yeah, a little bit, where there's some few fescues around there.
Yes.
And sort of reeds and stuff. And...
But well, very well designed. Monty did a great job with the European Tour. And as I say, Ash and Wu, slender victory, all by Chris Wood three-putting the last. But he hit a poor tee shot, Wood, on 15 into the right rough, which is a par five that... quite a few would reach into, and he'd have the length to do it, but wasn't able to do it. But what a weekend for Detri. He was on his way home, you know, on Friday.
Well, 74, I looked at his score in the first round, because he was my captain in our fantasy league.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, well, 74, the cut's going to be under par. He's toast.
He's toast.
67, makes it, and then 63 in the third round.
And then 66 to close with.
Correct.
I mean, that is massively impressive playing. So he shot 17 under from Friday onwards.
For three rounds. That is very good, isn't it? Have you watched him play?
Yeah, I have. I watched him. I was at the Dutch last year. I watched him next to Thomas Peters on the range. Very good swing. Tall, like Peters. In fact, they were hard to separate.
They build them tall in Belgium. You think of Kolsaerts as well, Peters and Detri.
It's chocolate.
Well, I'm not sure it is. Is it, what, the 80% cocoa chocolate?
It's proper stuff.
Yeah, proper stuff.
But, I have watched him. Very impressive. And to finish third from Thursday evening, 74... You know, quality players around everywhere. That's a fantastic achievement.
What about Wu just about scraping his card last year?
Yeah.
And then coming out this year and working hard with his coach and getting it done?
Yeah, and his last win prior to this, I think, was in Austria in 2016. But he has had three now. You just scrape through, get your card. It's fractions this game, isn't it?
Well, he topped 10 last week. Maybe that was a sign. Yes. I mean, maybe that's going to be your method for choosing the winner of the Portugal Masters later on in the show. Find someone
not.
Who topped 10.
No, I won't
it
be
is
doing
possible.
It. I have the winner this week, but
I like
we'll get
it.
Onto that.
I like it.
But no, well done to Ashen Wu. And he made a very nice speech, obviously not in his native language, and coped very well. But as I say, for Chris Wood, would have been his fourth win to three-putt the last. He was a long way from the pin, coming over ridges and down through valleys, and actually de-greened his first putt, and his second putt missed by fractions, so he must be gutted.
One of those things, but he's playing well, so that's the thing to take forward for Chris Wood into this week in Portugal. But let's hear from Ashen Wu, the winningmost Chinese player on the European Tour and the first Chinese winner of the KLM Open.
So happy right now and very, very exciting. Still very exciting right now and unbelievable. And I was thanks my Katie to wish me this week and thanks my wife. And thank a lot of people will be here to support me. So I have a good week this week and I love to win a KLM Open here. So yeah, feels very good.
You're the first Chinese player to win three times on the European Tour. That must be very special for you as well.
Oh yeah, it's very, very special for Chinese player play European Tour here, and it's a great tour, and I love to play here and three times here, and it's very, very special.
Obviously thrilled, Johnny, and Team Wu playing a big part, as he said.
Well, yeah, you know, he's over in Europe, obviously from China, different culture, different way of life. It's important to have someone alongside you that you can deal with, you know, the hours of what you do when you're not at the golf club. So it's obviously working for him, and he's a quality player.
Stats-wise, as mentioned, Wu's third win makes him the most successful Chinese player in European Tour history. It's also the seventh European Tour win for a player from China, and he moves to 43rd on the Race to Dubai rankings presented by Rolex, up from 90th. So, Johnny, going into this week, even at 90th, he wasn't safe.
Well, no, top 110, keep it. I would have probably thought he probably would have been safe at 90.
Do you think
90.
So? Yeah, I didn't think 90. The money was enough.
But having said that, he's such a quality player. He wouldn't have. I couldn't see him going backwards. And now, of course, he's won, so it's completely irrelevant. But the likes of someone like David Drysdale, who's putting in a late charge at the end of the season, is now up to 101.
There's always such a scramble. The money moves a lot at the end.
There is, and of course, there's no access list this year, which is top 10 for people who didn't play in the US Open, I think it was the US Masters, and the Rolex events last year. That's been done away with now. So it's a straight 110
it's the pure 110,
fight.
Yeah. 43rd means pretty much he's going to get into the curtain closer in Dubai.
Oh, no question.
Yeah, so he's going to play
top 60.
He's going to play Turkey, Nedbank.
Yeah. Big money events.
Yeah, British Masters.
And now he's got to be looking to improve his world ranking because, of course, top 50, then you get into the huge events, the majors, the WGCs. So it's an exciting time for him. But I think there's more to come.
OK, well, let's get the thoughts of a pretty disconsolate Chris Wood.
Yeah, just hung in there really all day. A couple of bad shots, which, you know, wasn't... Apart from two tee shots, I didn't really miss a shot today. Couldn't really expect too much more given sort of the changes I'm making. But, it's hard to take at the minute, yeah.
Obviously, you were aware, I presume, of what was going on around you and up ahead of you and what you needed to do.
No, I'm not one to look at what's going on. Just sticking to what I'm trying to do and then... Obviously, have a quick look on the last. You see, you need to make four, and I was just trying to hold it. That was all I had in my head, to hold that putt on the last, and putting's been so good all week. You know, it's just such a shame that the pace of the putt let me down on the last, but I didn't want to go back to the 18th tee. I wanted to hold it, and I really felt I could, and, you know, it's obviously when you miss the second one, that's when it hurts, but, I wasn't going to be somebody who left it 6 foot short.
Chris will be annoyed initially, but obviously with, you know, the game is coming together with the new... It's always nice to know that your new work, your new direction is going to yield something, because sometimes you go in a new direction and you see no signs of improvement whatsoever. So that has got to be pleasing for him.
I remember a few years ago with him. Do you remember he used to stand very pronounced and arch his back and stick his backside out, and he had to pack that in because of the pressure it was putting on his discs.
Ridiculous.
And he had to change that. And I remember a guy called...
And when the move back was the club way outside the hands on the way back.
But it was the damage he was doing to his back. And a guy called Mike Young said to me, who was the England RFU physio, he said, if he keeps doing that, he'll be finished at 28. And he changed it, which was a massive thing. Unfortunately, it's helped his back.
He's made it flat instead of arched.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a concave.
It was inverted.
Concave back, putting stress on all those joints. Yep. Yeah. Meanwhile, a mixed bag of a week ended in a tied third position for Belgium's Thomas Detry.
What a week, yeah. I was thinking missing the cut, going home on Friday, and then shooting 8-under, my lowest round yesterday, and then another good Sunday out here in front of most home crowds as well. It just feels amazing. I mean, it feels good, you know. I wasn't very comfortable out there on Thursday, and I was thinking, well, a weekend off might be good, and then here I am, finishing top three, I think. We'll see, but so yeah, very pleased with the way I handled the weekend.
Obviously, coming towards the end of the season, nice to be hitting some good form with some big events still to come.
Yeah, some big events. You know, I think I'll play Portugal next week. I'll take it easy. Like the course there as well. So, looking forward to that. And then, two big events coming up as well before the final series. And then Road to Dubai, it's coming up as well.
They've got some rangy, tall, unbelievable ball strikers in Detry, Peters and Kolsarts, Belgians. Yeah, you would think... that's got to be good for Belgian youngsters, having three guys like that.
I would have to say with Peters and Detry, their techniques are excellent. Kolsarts is from a slightly different generation. Still got a good technique. He's a little bit more handsy, but they are good strikers of ball. But you're right, they're big lads.
They are big fellas. Yeah, isn't it funny? In his 74, he probably could have been worse than that. And you never know what's going to happen over the next day or the next 3 days. The fruits of hanging in there on your poor day are unbelievable on the European Tour.
It's not how good you are on your good day, it's how bad you are on your bad day. To shoot 74 probably would have been the best he could have got out of it. I remember playing with guys that were good at getting it around sort of 73, 72 when they were playing badly, and then when they were playing all right, they sniffed it around in 66 in a breeze. But their ability to minimise the damage,
that's right.
That's the sign of a good golf professional.
Yeah, keep yourself in at all times. And they had beat the pro fun at the KLM Open
great,
again.
That.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Did you see the little 8-year-old?
I didn't. I missed him.
Oh, it's quality. I mean, that innovation came 3 years ago. That's the first time I remember, and we were all thinking, how's this going to work? You could kill somebody. And there were a couple of shanks in the stand.
Was this Philip Van Oosten? Did he have Joost Louten caddy for him? Nine-year-old boy.
I can't remember, but
okay.
It was brilliant to watch because they set that amphitheatre up, and it's only about 135 yards. But it's nerve-wracking, and they're all waiting in a tent at the back. They've all qualified to get there, and it's one go. And it was just brilliant to watch. And, of course, the crowd love it. There's probably 5,000 around that green for that.
Do you know that? I know it's a poor man's 16th at Phoenix, but the pros, because I was on that tee vox-popping to the pros that were playing and the amateurs, and the pros think it's great.
Yeah.
You would think the pros would go, they're all into it.
It's a bit of light, really.
They're all into it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's important, those things. I'd like to see it brought into more events, actually. But it's synonymous with Holland at the moment.
No, we've had it in a few events this year in the European Tour.
I can't think.
We had it in Belgium.
I was there, I don't remember.
They had beat the pro there, yeah, for sure.
Where?
Par 3 over the water, alongside the tree line, from the compound going towards the clubhouse. You would pass it, it would be on your left. And you're on that long, long road down to the clubhouse. And that's the par 3.
You're absolutely right.
Thank you.
Yeah, you are absolutely... Yeah, well, there you go. So they've had it in Belgium as well.
Yeah.
But the way they do it in Holland with lining either side with the stands and create, as I say...
Yeah, you encircle
like a
hole. Yeah, it's great.
It's brilliant and it brings a fantastic atmosphere.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
And long may it continue.
I think it will.
Yes.
And, of course, the good weather makes a massive difference.
Yeah, because you can get rains in Holland... But no, the weather was good this time. I love going to Holland. I like driving there.
Yeah, tall race, aren't they?
Yes.
Incredibly
I was once
tall.
In Zandvoort, playing in the Dutch Open at the Noordwijk. And I was in this bar, and I'm 6'3". I was the smallest bloke in there.
On whose measuring tape are you 6'3"?
Of women and men.
Well, I mean, there you are, you see.
It was incredible.
Yeah, but you're easily pleased.
Mm.
Top 10, please, John.
Top 10. So we know that Ashin Wu won by one shot from Chris Wood. Third tied was Thomas Detry with Hideto Tanehara. Then fifth on his own was Padraig Harrington, another good performance after the Czech Republic. Sixth tied was Bradley Dredge. He needs to go well towards the end of the season. David Drysdale, who is going well. And also Søren Kjelstrup, which is nice to see. Then also sixth tied, Eddie Pepperell, who had a very nice last round of 65. Then 10th on his own, Jordan Smith. So that's your top 10.
Excellent. Now, last week's predictions, it's presenter versus co-presenter for the year. We're sort of rumbling our way towards the end of the season, really. But not there yet. Some big tournaments to come in the European Tour. So it's two picks each. And one pick has to be from outside the top 50 in last year's Race to Dubai standings. You get 20 points for a win, 10 for a top 5, 5 for a top 20, minus 5 if you MC, which stands for missed cut. So in my absence, Dan Robert went for Nacho Elvira, who was a minus 5er because he missed the cut. Eddie Pepperell finished 6th, 5 points. All added up means 0 points. And then Gordon Brown Jr. had Ross Fisher, plus 5 missed cut, and Padraig Harrington, who finished 5th. So he gets 10 points for that and a minus 5. That is 5 points. The difference for the season is presenter 135, co-presenter 85. John Hawksworth, you have work to do this week.
Got the winner.
In the Fantasy Race to Dubai game, long-time leader Ingmar Bergman is still top of the overall global standings, while Stuart Aitken got the most points last week. In the Race to Dubai show mini-league, listener Damien Hoare was the highest scorer from the KLM Open, while Magnus Dolker is still out in front. Check out the Fantasy 3 to watch for the Portugal Masters this week on EuropeanTour.com. Top 10 in the Race to Dubai standings, please, John.
Well, of course, the Race to Dubai rankings are still led by the Open champion, Francesco Molinari, from the Masters champion, Patrick Reed. Tommy Fleetwood is now third, Rory McIlroy fourth, Alex Noren fifth, Torbjørn Olesen is sixth, John Rahm seventh, Russell Knox eighth, Tyrrell Hatton ninth, and Rafa Cabrera-Bello is 10th.
Now, in news from around the golfing world, Liam Johnston has won one of the European Challenge Tour's most lucrative events, the Kazakhstan Open, presented by ERG. 6 different players co-led the event at one stage during the final round, but the Scot eventually pulled clear to win by 2 shots. On the Stayshire Tour, Gary Orr became the first home winner of the Scottish Senior Open in more than a decade as he triumphed by 1 stroke at Craiglaw Golf Club, or Craigie Law Golf Club, that's even better. On the PGA Tour, matters at the BMW Championship were yet to be decided at the time of recording last week. So if you weren't already aware, Keegan Bradley pipped Justin Rose to the title in a playoff. It did see the Englishman, though, rise to the world number one position. Following the conclusion of the event, Jim Furyk unsurprisingly picked Tony Finau as his final wildcard pick for the US Ryder Cup team.
No, I thought he was going to pick Schauffele.
Are you saying at this point right now you didn't realise it was Tony Finau?
Right at this second, I didn't know, but I thought Schauffele deserved to get it. But then Finau's been playing great.
Finau has been phenomenal through the FedEx Cup Series. Yeah. He was top 10 in 3 majors this year.
He'd plenty to go at.
Jim Furyk isn't hamstrung by the amount of rookies that are qualified.
Right.
So he can afford to pick another rookie. And in fairness, I think he made the right. I think Tony Finau was the outstanding choice.
Have you seen the stand around the first 2 at Paris National?
Yes, it's, I think,
25 stories high.
I think 6,000 people. It's like a very mild S bend.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it joins. It's all joined, but you can see behind the 18th green and behind the first tee.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, it's superb. Absolutely superb.
10 days to go. 11
it's
days.
It's unbelievable how close that is now. Once you get into the Monday of Ryder Cup week, everyone's just bursting to get to Friday.
11
That's
days
the longest 4 days in the world. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of the Ryder Cup is the longest 4-day period in the world.
Yes.
Because you just can't wait to get it on.
No.
On the Friday morning. Winners for you?
Us.
Yeah. It's 2 top teams, by the way.
Oh, it's 2 great teams. Yeah. It's not they are much better than us. It's 2 very, very good teams. Tell you what, if you're thinking of something to do to our listeners, get on the train to Paris and go to the Ryder Cup. It'll take you about an hour and a half.
You can't just go to the Ryder Cup. It's a sellout.
Yes, I know that. Just take a ladder.
So if you've already got your tickets, you're going.
Get on the airport and just get on the ladder and have a look over the fence.
Get in front of your telly, watch it all
on
Sky Sports.
Well, you might still be able to get tickets.
Blow by blow.
Somehow. Anyway, it's just the best place in the world for the Ryder Cup, for me.
Yeah.
And have you seen the size of the fish in the lake that separates 18 and 15 and sort of round, it goes up to the edge of 16 as well. The grass carp in there are monsters.
So they're the ones that go close to the edge and play in amongst the reeds?
Yeah, that's right. They keep the reeds and the long grasses down. In fact, years ago, lightning struck that lake and killed them all, and they were all unfortunately dead on the top, but they've restocked it. But they're just magnificent things. If you catch one of those, it's like hooking a Mini Cooper.
How much would it cost to buy one of those?
A grass carp of £30, a lot of money.
Would it?
A lot of money, yeah.
So it's not a cheap thing to do then, to restock it?
Oh, no.
Right.
No, it's not a cheap thing at all.
Do they put them in like little budlings or something before they grow into sort of, you know, fully fledged monster
into little
carp?
What, sorry?
Little budlings.
Do you know what a budling is?
It's a tiny little fish. Fishling. Do they put them in as little...
No, there's nothing wrong with my hearing. I'm trying to work out what you're
saying.
Do they
put them in? Do they put them in and let them grow, or do they go in fully adult?
These have gone in...
Surely you can get the gist of this.
They went in adult.
Adult, full size.
Yeah.
That's why they're expensive.
But there will be some in there that are juveniles, but the big ones are...
What? Is that the sort of noise they make?
Large.
Excellent. Now, this week's event is the Portugal Masters. Look, before we do that, let's do the world's top ten.
Shall we?
Yeah.
Well, now we have a new world number one, and I'm delighted because he's a top bloke, and that is Justin Rose, who narrowly missed out to Keegan Bradley recently.
You're going to say Bradley Keegan then,
no,
weren't
I wasn't.
You?
I was
just checking.
But he narrowly lost out to Keegan Bradley, so he now goes to number one from... Brooks Koepka, who's up from number three to number two. Dustin Johnson down to number three from number two. Justin Thomas has stayed the same at four. Rory McIlroy is now up to number five from six. Francesco Molinari is down to six from five. John Rahm stays at seven. Bryson DeChambeau at eight. Ricky Fowler at nine. And Jordan Spieth is 10th. But what about Tiger's resurgence?
Well, let's forget about Tiger first.
No,
I've got a point to make to you. Mm. This has never happened before in the history. I don't believe this has ever happened before in the history of the world rankings.
Oh, yeah.
And that is that the four players at the top are separated by less than half a point.
Agreed. Agreed. But when Tiger was world number one, he was ahead by about 12 points.
Tiger, at one point, had three times the points of the second place man.
Yeah.
When he was up to 20, 21 points.
Wasn't it he couldn't play for 2 years and he'd still be world number one or something?
There were all sorts of marvellous stats that came out when Tiger
was
there.
Does he get close to number one in the world again, Tiger, do you think?
You mean ever, from now
does
on?
Does he get close, yeah. I think he does.
Yeah, he can get close to that.
It's just a thing close. Of beauty watching him again.
Yeah, he's got the bit between his teeth, and I think his life's better.
Well, and he's got the speed back, and he's competing, and he seems consistent, and, yeah, he seems happier.
Does he win? All right, then.
Does he win?
There's no doubt he's going to win again. Does he win a major again?
Yes, the Masters.
I mean, everyone's got him down for the Masters. If anyone knows it, I get it around there, he does, but we'll see.
Or,
I think he can win a major again. I didn't think he could win a tombola
the Masters,
a year ago.
I'd go for the Masters of the USPGA next year.
Or the USPGA.
Yeah. The Open, which is in Ireland.
For some reason, that doesn't suit him because...
New venue, the weather could play a massive part. You could get hung out on the draw.
Royal Portrush.
Yeah, I would go the Masters of the USPGA. He could quite easily win any of them. But also, the schedule changes next year, so...
PGA's the second major.
The Masters is in April, PGA's in May, US Open in June, and the last major is the Open Championship in July. You get on a run, the history books could be rewritten in recent years if it stays like that with the schedule.
Yep, could happen. Mm. Could happen. They're very close together now, aren't they? Very close together. Okay, now, at last, it's time to concentrate on the Portugal Masters.
Oh, yes.
At the Dom Pedro Victoria Golf Course in Vila Moura. Do they have grass carp there, John?
Not that I'm aware of,
okay.
Although I have seen koi.
Have you?
Yeah, very expensive to buy if you want some koi.
They're more expensive than the grass carp.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They are prized.
Prized, I like it. Not fish for eating, though, are they really carp? Are they?
If you put them in fresh water and rinse them through, yes, there's nothing wrong with them.
You could eat carp, could you?
Yeah, but it's been in a muddy pond, you couldn't take it out and start eating it. It'd be like having, you know, soil and chips. You've got to put it in fresh water and flush it through.
Okay, very good.
But
I just never see carp as a fish food when I go into a supermarket or a fish and chip shop.
I go into the Indian supermarket in Preston. Yeah, they sell carp.
Do they?
Yeah, they're farmed in Thailand.
But moving on from fish now
to
Lucas Bjerregaard, wonderful player.
Oh, yeah.
Powerful. I know what always catches your eye is a guy who pumps it a long way. He does.
Yeah, I was there last year when he won, actually. It was a great victory.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I know he's come close this year. Did he lost out recently, didn't he? But he's a quality player, and I think he's underrated.
Just lost out in Switzerland, didn't he?
He gives it a right old hoof.
Yeah, he does. He's a very good player.
And very good technically.
Yeah, he's powerful, and, you know, he's... slowly but surely getting the knack of winning, getting into contention, and you would think this golf course, it's a long hitter's golf course.
And
no
it's wide.
About that.
It's wide as well.
It's wide, it's a long hitter's golf course, and the scoring is ridiculously low around it.
Well, yeah, because there isn't a lot of immediate trouble off the fairway, so you can tend to open your shoulders a little bit. The rough isn't normally very long.
Now, Vines likes to, you know, just chip in with bits of information. You came out with the grass carp and the koi carp. Mm. You'll be pleased to know that there are natural wetlands on site as well as the typical vegetation of carob, olive and almond trees.
Well, I could have told you that. But
yeah, but you didn't, did you?
No, well, you've got it written down.
No, you didn't. Yeah, almond trees. Did you know that a peanut is not a nut?
Yes.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's not a nut.
Yeah, but what is it?
A peanut is a seed of...
No.
Right, well, tell me that.
You're floundering.
I am.
It's a legume. It's like a bean. Nuts don't grow underground.
I know they don't grow underground.
Well, peanuts do.
Well, pineapples don't grow on trees.
We weren't talking about pineapples.
Well, I am.
We're talking about peanuts.
I didn't know pineapples.
Did you know that
a
cashew nut is not a nut?
No, I didn't.
There we are. But an almond is a nut, and they have nut trees in Portugal.
I think you must come round for dinner.
Listen, I will come round. If you're cooking. What will you, something with almonds on top, or what will you? Oh, it could be carp. How would you present your carp dish?
On a big plate.
Nice, yeah. It's a 40-pounder for you. We're getting down to a very important part of the year now, John.
We talked
about David Drysdale getting just outside the top 100 position right now, and other players are under pressure to stay in the 110. And added to that, in the field, we've got a couple of Ryder Cuppers looking for a bit of warm-up before they get to Le Golf National, Sergio Garcia and Torbjørn Olesen.
Yeah, especially for Garcia, because we know he hasn't had the best of times. And just sort of warming up, really, for the Ryder Cup. I feel the Ryder Cup's completely different because you can get, before the singles, you can sort of hide a little bit, especially in the fourballs. But foursomes, there is nowhere to hide in singles if you're not on your game. I remember a few years ago, do you remember when Anthony Kim turned him over about 9-7 or something?
Without Valhalla.
At Valhalla, and went to the next tee and didn't realise he'd beaten him.
He went from 14 to 15 and the match was over.
That's right.
He was ready to keep going.
And Anthony Kim now has disappeared, but he dished it out to Garcia. So Garcia's trying to find his game a little bit. Olesen just probably fancies a nice week down in Portugal.
Sergio gets to 3 points in this Ryder Cup. He becomes the winning most European Ryder Cupper ever. He gets past Faldo with 3 points.
Does he get 3 points, do you think? Three out of four?
I think he could get 3 points. I don't think Sergio's playing as badly as everyone makes out. He played quite nicely at the Wyndham without tearing up trees.
Yeah.
And that was the last event he played.
And match play's completely different. You can shoot 75 and win 3-2. You know, it's that sort of game. Whereas in a stroke play event, you knock yourself out of it. But it's nice to see. Always good crowds down there because, of course, there's a lot of expats go down there on holiday and live down there as well. And it's just a lovely week, and the weather's always generally bob on.
Tell us some of the names that are playing. We talked about Olesen, we talked about Garcia. Who else?
Well, we've got Harrington's going down there, Danny Willett. You see, some might take the families down there. Schwartzel's down there. We mentioned Olesen. JD, who's getting towards 50 now, he'll be out on the Stasior Tour next year. He will be a handful. Alexander Levy, it's a shame he didn't make the Ryder Cup for me in France. I thought he was going to make a late push for it.
Wasn't close, was he, really?
No, he wasn't. Jordan Smith, who played all right last week. Eddie Pepperell's down there. Ola Thabel is playing that week, which is... And there's Sergio also playing down there. And it looks like Sergio's had an invitation to play down there. So he's obviously desperate to get his game going. Alvaro Quiroz, up and down career over the last few years, did have a win but seems to have gone off the radar a little bit. It's a course Quiroz could suddenly play well on because you can open your shoulders. Matthew Southgate's going down there, David Horsey, Søren Kjeldsen, a little further down, Steve Gallagher had a good result recently. Thomas Detry, who had that charge to finish third last week. So Shane Lowry, Paul Dunne, who were two Irishmen, who I was looking at closely. Dunne's been off the boil a little bit recently, but it's always a jolly nice week. Accommodation's great. I love the food, the seafood. Do you like seafood?
I do. I like carp.
No, it's not seafood.
Fresh fruit, fresh water?
Well, you'd only want other option.
You could cook it in brine and then it would be like seafood, yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Anyway, so thank God you're not a chef. So, as I mentioned, Ola Thabel, Angel Cabrera's playing, the big-hitting Argentinian former Masters champion.
You're going well.
Rafael Jacquelin, James Morrison, obviously the golfer, not the singer, and a little bit further down, then the likes of Stephen Brown, who could do with a good week, and Jonathan Thompson, who was in contention last week.
Yes, big chance, wasn't it?
Yeah, he fell away. It's a shame. But you've got to draw on the positives, not the fact that you fell away.
OK. With all that said...
Yes.
You need to give me somebody you think's going to win and somebody you think that could win who wasn't in the top 50 last year.
So easy. This is a joke. So I'm going for... Shane Lowry, who was in the top 50.
Right.
And I'm going for David Drysdale, who's playing very nicely.
So, Lowry and Drysdale.
There's nothing wrong with your hearing.
That's fine. I'm going to go with, because I do think it's a long hitter's golf course, I'm going to go with Ryan Fox.
Is he long?
Johnny.
I know, it's a joke. I've seen him, it's a joke.
Oh, yeah, he just gives...
He's Larry Large.
He's Ryan Fox, but he hits it a long, long way, I've got to say. So I'm going to go with Ryan Fox, and I'm going to back him up with Padraig Harrington.
Right, good. Who has won this?
Who was 117th, I think, on last year's
Moneyless.
Race to Dubai.
Yes.
Race to Dubai, give it its proper title.
Yes, I was just
And you're right, he has won this.
I know, right.
So now you're thinking about my picks and thinking, actually, they're rather good, aren't you?
No, not really.
Are you not thinking that?
No.
I thought you might have done. No credit as per usual. We shall see. Only 7 days before we find out the tomfoolery of the picks that were John Hawksworth. That's it for now. Next week, we will review, of course, the Portugal Masters and look ahead to the biggie, the 2018 Ryder Cup at Le Golf National in Paris. We certainly cannot wait for that. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and Snapchat via europeantour.com or by downloading the official app. But for now, from John Hawksworth, the Kartmeister, who's gone for...
Shane Lowry and David Drysdale. Come on, you beauties.
I'm countering that with Padraig Harrington and Ryan Fox. We'll see you next week.